Good morning. Welcome back to another episode of Mornings with the Montagues. It's been a little spotty lately. We recorded, we didn't record, we recorded, we didn't record. And so we're not recording every day as we like. Yeah. But it doesn't mean we're not doing our devotions, okay? Mm-hmm. We're not able to record every day, but we want to. It's the desire of our heart to continue to record. But we're in this crazy period right now where a lot of things are going on. We're trying to solve some things and move on. So how are you, Mar? Tell us.
I'm a little tired, but I'm okay.
Me too. I'm a little tired. It's a tired day today. I don't know. The last couple of days have been tired.
Yeah,
tiring, you know? I don't know what's going on, but we're here. The Lord is faithful. So today's episode is titled, Digging Out of a Little Sin. Digging Out of a Little Sin. I know so many times in my life when I've needed to dig out of a little sin. And a little sin leads to a big sin. And so I've always heard people say the obedience matters in the little things because the little things, disobeying in the little things leads you into big disobedience. And so I know that in my life, I had these lines that I would never cross. And then eventually I crossed this line of, I'll never do that. And then I crossed the line and I moved it back. Okay, I'll never do that. And then I did it. I'll never do that. Well, at least I'm not as bad as this guy because he's doing way worse things than me. You know, and we compare, and it's better just to be obedient and to have structure, have boundaries of what the Lord says to do. And so digging out of a little sin, we're going to talk about Israel and their disobedience. Once again, poor Israel, they keep making mistakes. They keep failing. Sound familiar?
Yeah.
Falling short
decimate,
of the glory of God. And so we're again in Joshua chapter 7, 1 through 26. Go through and read those verses. And I'm going to read actually Joshua 7, 10 and 11 today, because I feel like these two verses just show the heart of God and how upset he is with his people. So the Lord said to Joshua, so ultimately, before this happened, Israel was defeated in war. Their enemies were coming against them, and Joshua went down on his face and he's complaining to God. And God says, Joshua, stand up. What are you doing down in your face? Israel has sinned, for they have violated my covenant, which I commanded them to keep. They have taken some of the devoted things, they have stolen, they have lied, they have put them with their own possessions. This is why the Israelites cannot stand against their enemies. They turn their backs and run because they have been made liable to destruction. I will not be with you anymore unless you destroy whatever among you is devoted to destruction. Wow. So that's actually 10 through 12. But look at the heart of God. He's so upset with his people. He's like, I asked you to be obedient. I gave you the instructions. You disobeyed. And now your enemies are defeating you because you have things with you that are devoted to destruction. Remove these things and I'll be with you. Mm-hmm. And so do we have anything in our life that has been devoted to darkness or been devoted to destruction that we're entertaining openly?
Nowadays it sounds like, if God were about to say something like that to us, he would have a lot to say, I guess, because there's so many idols that
so
people have nowadays too. Like not just in the Old Testament, like having this gods and these things that they should be destroyed, right? But nowadays we have a bunch of stuff in our cultures.
Mm-hmm. That music, movies. Yeah. Halloween, it's October.
Yeah.
And why as Christians do we defend Halloween, a day of darkness? It wasn't until I left America and came into Brazil where there's so much witchcraft going on, where witchcraft has been used against us as Christians as well, where I decided I don't want nothing to be a part of it. I want nothing to do with this holiday. Why do we defend it? You know?
We Brazilians, we have a better understanding of how evil it is. I guess the pastors in our churches just preach the darkness about it, and it's we are all we all know about it, and it's not a joke, it's not fun, you know.
In this sobering verse, the Lord says, I will not be with you anymore unless you destroy whatever among you is devoted to destruction. So just take account in your life. What are you entertaining? What are you openly doing in your life that has been devoted to destruction that you're allowing to keep in your life? How can the Lord be with you? How can the Lord bless your life? How can the Lord put you on the path where he wants you to go if these are the things that you're devoting yourself to, right? Mm-hmm. And so our devotional today,
nowadays something that gets us and gets like some people that we are working with and trying to help them, I think it what is like destroying the future of mm-hmm. generations is yeah. music. Like, there's so much trash music, and it's taking away the focus and of people, and they don't get it that it's the music that mm-hmm. they're listening to. It's just junk and sensuality, and that's also like some type of worship.
Mm-hmm.
And when we should be singing to God and praising Him, and that would not take us to a bad path. It would take mm-hmm. lead us to God, closer to Him.
Yeah. So our devotional today, I'm tempted to cry, not fair, upon reading the story of Ashen. First, it doesn't seem like that big of a deal for him to have taken some treasure as a reward for victory in battle. And second, all of the Israelites were held responsible for the sin of one man who had, against God's direct command, stolen and hidden plunder after the Battle of Jericho. Because of the small sin of one man, God punished all of Israel by withdrawing his blessing and allowing the people to be humiliated and defeated by the Battle of Ai, or Ai. I don't know how you pronounce that word. And I remember when my young children would complain that a punishment was too harsh for their teeny little disobedience. I'd bring up Adam and Eve's tiny bite of the forbidden fruit. I'd ask them how many bites of the fruit it would have taken to be punishable. They got it, that it's not the size of the disobedience, but the meaning behind it that's the problem. Like with Ashen, Adam and Eve disrespected God by their disobedience. Likewise in marriage, individual actions reflect one's commitment to the marriage covenant. When I'm tempted to do something selfish, I ask myself two questions. Number one, how would I feel if Gray did this? Her husband, apparently, Gray. How would I feel if Dallas did this? How would I feel if Marcelli did this? How would I feel if my spouse did this? And two, how would I feel if our children found out?
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Interesting. I'm stopped in my tracks every time. So something like an innocent email exchange with an old flame is now revealed to my heart for what it is, betrayal. Sin in marriage is not an individual issue. It affects the marriage relationship, the wider family, and also the entire community. Who would deny that infidelity and divorce have wreaked havoc upon millions of children and ripped the fabric of our society? In the same way, Ashen's selfish act ripped the fabric of Israel's relationship with God. Ashen's other sin was the cover-up. He deceitfully hid the plunder that he had stolen, but eventually the truth was revealed. Just as it is in the 21st century families, a woman writes in her journal about her intimate relationship with another man. She thinks no one will ever know, but one day her husband does the unthinkable. He decides to clean all the books on the bookshelf and discovers the diary behind the dusty volumes. Wow, she got caught because her husband started cleaning. How crazy is that? She's like, the unthinkable. He did the unthinkable. He cleaned. Or a husband thinks he can cover his gambling losses by taking greater risks that promised bigger payoffs. But when the bank statement arrives with a negative balance and his wife gets the mail, the whole family suffers the painful consequences of financial loss. Ashen's lesson still holds true. Everyone loses in the sin game.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Everyone loses mm-hmm. in the sin game. Mm-hmm. What is sin in its full form?
Death.
Death. Death is the result of sin. And if you continue to sin and sin and sin, even if it's just these little bitty things, like I said in the beginning, it starts little, but the little sins add up to big sins. And now you're so far from where you wanted to be if you continue to make little sins. And so integrity happens in the little sins.
Mm-hmm.
Say no to the little things, right? Mm-hmm. Just as this is saying, I think I'll add another question here. How would I feel if God saw me do this, because God yeah. sees everything, right? Yes. How does this make God feel, what I'm about to do? How will it make my spouse feel? How will it make my children feel, right? Those are three great questions to ask,
yeah.
you know, when something selfish is coming. Go ahead.
Yeah, because God is holy. He's holy, and he has panorama. Mm-hmm. Panorama? I don't know. He sees us.
Sounds good.
With the full size, mm-hmm. full form, all the purpose that he has for us, for our lives. And he knows that little sin, those little things will take us away from mm-hmm. certain important things that he wanted from us.
Yeah.
Right? It's distractions. It's the devil's distractions, some little things. Sometimes it makes us fall in bigger things, mm-hmm. which are terrible and mm-hmm. reflects in all over our families. One thing that I was thinking when you were reading, like when we are single, it feels like our sins and the things we do, they have less consequences.
Mm-hmm. Feels like, oh, it's only against myself, right?
Yeah,
it's only
like You don't think about, oh, I'm hurting my parents. For you, mm-hmm. like, for example, your mistakes were like it affected your family mm-hmm. too, right? With the drug addiction. Mm-hmm. So affected your family, you lost everything and this type of stuff. But some other little sins you think, oh, it's not going to affect mm-hmm. my family, my parents, my brothers and sisters. It will. Mm-hmm. It will affect. But when you are married, I think it affects so much your spouse mm-hmm. and your children. Because you are now, like to the spouse, you're like the best friend and you are the person that they walk with. And we are supposed to strengthen each other, mm-hmm. Walking in faith. And also the children, they are like, oh, my mom and my dad, they are supposed to be like the, not like superheroes, but we are supposed to be examples mm-hmm. and faith for them. And when we fail like so much, it's so hard for them to see God as good as like they should see mm-hmm. him, right?
Something else I'm thinking of when you're mentioning all of that.
And watching like, oh, it's nothing happens with my parents. They make mistakes. Nothing happens. You know, there's no consequences. They are adults. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and for our children, we punish them. And for us, it doesn't happen
no
anything.
Consequence
yeah,
for
no
us.
Consequences. Yeah. So one day I'm going to get old and I can do whatever I want. Mm-hmm. So I think all of our actions count mm-hmm. When they are watching us and our kids are watching us. And our I think it's a lot of influence.
Mm-hmm. Something else I was thinking about when you were talking, that God has used Marcelli to cut some of those little sins off of my life, where, yes, I was a drug addict, right? And so I consider some big things wrong and some smaller things, not so bad. It's not really even going to affect my family. It's just going to make life easier, right? Some little things. And Marcelli is like, hey, no, you can't do that. That little thing, I know it looks so small and so pointless, but it matters. Like the little obedience matters. And so this is something that God has used my wife to fix in me because we're so close. She knows the best of me. She knows the worst of me. And I allow her to speak into my life and help correction, bring correction. You do know the worst.
I never met you in the worst.
Okay. Okay.
Point,
yeah.
And
but you know, I'm
so
transparent with you, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
And so you know what's going on.
Yeah.
So you can speak into my life and help
but
me with direction
that,
overcome that.
I don't remember ever listening to a message about it, but now listening you saying like, oh, this boundary line that we create or something like that. I think I always had that boundary line since I became a Christian. Like I knew for myself that I couldn't sin like in this, I should be correct in the smaller things because when I did the smaller things wrong, it was like, I don't know. I felt like my heart was like allowing more things to come. Mm-hmm. And then I sinned in bigger things. And then, oh my, I am in trouble, mm-hmm. you know? So for me, I have to be obedient in the smaller things. Or it feels like my heart is going, it allows more stuff.
Yeah.
And when I see, I'm lost, you know, in sin. Mm-hmm. So I have to try to be correct with God and be obedient. Because it just opened a space for the evil to work in my life, and I don't want that. So mm-hmm. It's not good. I have to try to be obedient in smaller things too, or
yeah,
doesn't go well for me.
Our questions today, they're a little touchy. They're a little touchy
yeah.
for our audience today. Answer these for yourself as well. Number one, what steps will we take to stay honest with each other about money, friends, recreational activities, and what areas have we been less than fully honest?
I think when we do a lot of things together, we were a pandemic mm-hmm. couple.
Yeah.
So it's hard to, like, there's no space even for hiding anything, and we don't mm-hmm. like that type of stuff.
I know
we
that
like
there
to
are.
Share things.
Yeah. We share a bank account. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
I know that there are a lot of ways to divide the finances in a marriage.
We also have to.
Yeah.
With our Brazilian American condition, we have
yeah.
to share
uh-huh.
to prove.
Like, for
together.
Example, I have a bank account in America with dollars in it.
Yeah. Then I'm not sharing that.
And Marcelli has, you know, so it's not like I'm just like, oh, I'm going to go buy this and she'll never know. Like,
oh, yeah.
This is not how it works. But I will give one little example that Marcelli doesn't like it when I drink energy drinks, right?
Oh, yeah.
So okay. Sometimes when I'm on my own, out and about.
And I always know that.
I drink an energy drink. Yeah, because I bring it home with me, huh?
Yeah. Or leave in the car.
But that's one way that I'm
like
been less than fully honest,
you know?
Right? But yeah, I think this is a very important thing. We discussed it. We like transparency in our marriage. Mm-hmm. And so I think if you keep something in the darkness, I mean, the enemy's, that's full game for the mm-hmm. enemy. And who wins in the sin game? No one, right? Mm-hmm. So number two question, what effect might hidden sins have on our marriage if we continue doing them for several months or even years. That's exactly what we're talking about. Mm-hmm. Hidden sins allow the enemy to play the game and destroy your life, mm-hmm. right? I've always heard people say that unconfessed sin, something like this, it's like the enemy can play with it and keep yeah. playing with it, because if it's not in the light, mm-hmm. nobody knows. Mm-hmm. And that's when the enemy can keep using it against you every time. Just keep pressing that button, mm-hmm. keep pressing that button. And he continues to take you down, take you out every time.
Yeah, I agree. But one thing about those secrets, sins that you have to reveal to someone, just pick a wise person to mm-hmm. reveal to and pray with. In mm-hmm. the beginning of our devotionals, we said some things like that we have to find some people that we really trust in the mm-hmm. Lord to pray with us. But yes, we must confess mm-hmm. our sins, and that's freedom. That's yeah. freedom.
Yeah.
That's
when you don't confess these things,
mm-hmm. and there's no reason
the
to
power the enemy still has the power.
Yeah, and there's no reason. I feel like I'm clean mm-hmm. just because
one person knows.
Yeah,
right?
Like Jesus.
And you repented from the Lord, of course.
Covered it all with mm-hmm. His blood. Like, of course you've seen it, mm-hmm. but I feel clean because the yep. Lord just does it, you know?
Yeah. And our third question, what no big deal sins are we willing to overlook in our relationship? If we continue doing them, what or who might then bring them to light?
I think everything we are doing, like in our lives or our relationship, for example, for your guys' lives, every time we have a choice to make, discussing and thinking about it with the Lord to have the best resolution for things. Mm-hmm. Like, there's sometimes more than one way to do something.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, for example, some documentation for the school, like mm-hmm. we work and ordered books that we're using, you know, is everything correct? You're going to mm-hmm. choose this because it's cheaper, the cheaper way, right? Or this is more expensive, but it's the right way, mm-hmm. you know? So it's better to trust in the Lord, He'll provide, than mm-hmm. having a mess here in the future or yeah. a sin, you know?
Mm-hmm. Something else, I think just, we've talked about it so many times, be cautious of what you're doing, what you're entertaining. You know what your weaknesses are, so don't do that. You know, don't, if your problem is drinking, don't go to a bar, right?
Yeah. Well, I'm going to evangelize in a bar.
If you're, yeah, so many other things that we have so many examples. You know your weakness. Stop putting yourself in pit situations like this to sin.
Yeah, to sin.
Stop hiding things, or the enemy is going to keep using it, right? Speak things into the light. I know it's hard. I know it's tough. And we've walked through some things like that, where I didn't want to talk about it. I didn't want to talk. I didn't want to say anything. But because we did, we walked through that with a good couple. We talked about this before. Mm-hmm. I'm free.
Yeah.
And it's amazing. I mean, nothing compares to freedom and mm-hmm. being transparent with your spouse. And so,
yeah, and trying to be...
It's the best.
Two people at the same time
it doesn't work.
Like a chameleon.
I tried.
Yeah, you tried. But I did too when I was a teenager. And yeah. I lied. I like mm-hmm. to lie because my life was not good enough in my eyes. Like, I didn't have everyone in the family that I wanted, and mm-hmm. I didn't have brothers and sisters. I lied that I had a brother that died. Like, crazy stuff. Like, where does this come from? From the enemy. Mm-hmm. So just cut it off, yeah. you know? Like, trying to be two people at the same time, it's sick,
yeah.
you know? It makes you sick and sin.
And going back to this verse one more time, I will not be with you anymore unless you destroy whatever among you is devoted to destruction. So cut it out. Whatever is in your life, cut it out. Mm. It doesn't belong. It's not worth it. This little momentary satisfaction mm. that it might bring you today, it's not worth your eternity. It's not worth it.
To ask for sorry, to ask for forgiveness for people that you have been lying to mm-hmm. or have been maybe faking to be a chameleon, right?
A chameleon, yeah.
Chameleon to one person and acting in another way and with mm-hmm. other people. Like, just ask for forgiveness. It's yeah. better sometimes to have some people angry with you, but be right with the Lord mm-hmm. about it. And then He will make things work and maybe continue to be friends.
Maybe.
But it's better to fix with the Lord.
Yeah.
Then, like, cut your arms to making you sin, right? Yeah.
There's no hidden sin from God. He knows everything. And so just come to Him. Talk to Him about it. And so let's pray about that. Let's mm-hmm. pray for our listeners today to confess these things to God, right?
One thing, I'm not saying for you to try to be super honest about a person. Hey, I don't like you. I just wanted to reveal that to you. I've been faking.
I've been faking it to your face for a long time.
That I like you, but I don't. Well, not this type of person. Use wisdom. Not this.
Rely on the Holy Spirit.
Not this. You know, if That's you don't crazy. Like a brother or sister in Christ, man, girl, you need to treat yourself with the Lord, because you should love your brothers and sisters. Mm-hmm. You know, there's something wrong with you. Yeah. You know, if you don't, you can't stand a person. Maybe you're demonized.
You don't have to like everybody, but you have to love everybody.
You have to love everybody in Christ. Somehow, I've had some...
I don't like you, but I love you.
I've had some people in my life that I was like hard to love in Christ, but the Lord helped me to learn how to love them. Mm-hmm. That's crazy. And give me like this compassionate look, eyes for these people. And there's some other people that they just hate me, and they never, and they're believers. And I started loving them, and they didn't love me back. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh my gosh, I got all this work, like trying to love this person, and I did my best to do it, and the person didn't do it back. Well, you did your part, you know?
Yeah. One of the quotes that my friends used to say, bless them and change me, Lord. Bless them and change me. Second, a real advice. Ask God to see them the way that he sees them.
Yeah.
So if you don't like somebody, say, God, help me see this person the way that you see them. Mm-hmm. And he'll start to open your eyes to their good qualities. We've said it many times before. It takes no anointing to see the junk in people.
Yeah.
But it takes a lot of anointing to see the good in people, the gold in people. So just seek God for his perspective of who you have to work around and be around, right? It's not always easy, but it's worth it. So let's pray.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Lord, thank you so much for this time today, this devotional. I think it's a very important devotional today to live in righteousness, to live in freedom, to live in purity, Lord. And so I just ask for every single person listening today that they take the time after listening today to confess their sins to you, Lord. That they can confess of all of the garbage, all the things that we've entertained, all the things that have been devoted to destruction that we allow in our life, Lord. I pray that we will break it off in Jesus' name, that you'll call us into a time of repentance, that we realize that this momentary satisfaction will not last. Mm-hmm. It's not worth it to be disobedient to you in these small, tiny pieces of satisfaction today, Lord, because we want to be with you for eternity. Lord, so thank you for your forgiveness. Thank you for giving us your son, that when we confess our sins, when we repent and turn away, we are forgiven, Lord. So thank you for that. And I pray that you can help us to walk through these difficult times, Lord. I know that once we confess, we're forgiven, but our consequences still continue sometimes. So I pray that you can help people to walk through, even with their consequences following them, and deal through those things, Lord. And I pray for all of our audience today, all of our listeners, who just have heavy hearts, Lord, with all the things that are going on in life, Lord. We're waiting for something. We're waiting for promises. Maybe we want to turn to things that don't satisfy because we're angry or upset, Lord. But I just pray that you call us into obedience right now, Lord. So thank you for this time. Thank you for this devotional. Continue to speak through us through our Mornings with the Montague devotionals. We love you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.